So can you please turn with me to Galatians and chapter 1, please? Well, actually, you can turn to Galatians chapter 2 for the first reading. Galatians chapter 2, and my title of my message tonight, this morning, is Not I, but Christ. Not I, but Christ. And it's been on my heart in the last little while, this emphasis of the Christian life is not I, but Christ. And it's something that I've enjoyed in the past, a while back, and I've often had it in my heart to speak on this, but it's just this past week when I was asked to give ministry, I was in my readings in Galatians, in my daily readings, so this message was in my heart afresh as I've been reading it in my daily reading. And so I've been thinking about, more particularly, not I but Christ, but the main thing is how we began our Christian life is how we continue it. And it's something that we struggle with. And the Galatians, Paul is speaking to the church of Galatians, all the churches there, that he had founded in his second missionary journey. Paul was in his missionary journey. He had preached the gospel in Galatia, and these churches were formed in Galatians, And so Paul was likely writing this message here. He was writing to very early on after he had planted them on his third missionary journey. He was writing this letter to the church which he had founded in his second missionary journey. So it wasn't too far between these churches when this error had come in. We think of Galatians, we think of this, there was a strong shift from faith in Christ alone to another gospel. And Paul is saying, it is not another. There is no other gospel. He says, and he uses very strong language against the Judaizers, those who were bringing in, he even says in chapter 1, if we, the apostles, or any other, even an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed, which is the strongest word of damned. Let him be doubly cursed, is the idea. And then he says it again. He says, if we, or an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which you have received, first is that which we have preached, he says, that which you have received, let him be anathema, let him be accursed. So Paul is really starting off very strong and trying to really convey a great displeasure in their turning away. He says, you have turned away from him who has called you unto another gospel. Not away from this teaching, but away from God, away from Christ. And this teaching had affected the Galatians so much that it stunted them. It greatly stunted them. And they were becoming such as which Paul speaks in chapter 4. He says how he travails in birth again till Christ be formed in them. So this false teaching of another gospel, of a performance-based gospel, has stunted the believers. It had made them go back, and Christ was not formed in them. There was no real growth in this sort of living. So my message really is here of a life that is by faith in Christ is how it began, and to prove it from the scriptures how it continues. The Christian life that begins by faith must continue by faith and not by performance. And so that's my heart. But my title will be Not I, but Christ. So Christ has to live in us to be effective. And so Paul here, even in chapter 1, just give a quick overview. In chapter 1, Paul speaks about, he recounts his past and his apostleship. He brings before them his apostleship and how he came to this gospel. It wasn't taught to him. It was a gospel by revelation, he says, by the revelation of Jesus Christ. It wasn't something that other people had taught taught him or shared with him, it was, he says, he conferred, not with flesh and blood. It was directly divinely given to Paul on the Damascus Road, and afterwards he had revelation. The gospel was given to him by the revelation of Jesus Christ and not by anyone, not by any man, Paul is saying. And then he speaks of how, he says, you know my past. So the Galatians knew about Paul's past. He speaks, for ye have heard of my conduct in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceeding zealous of the tradition of my fathers. And then he speaks of his conversion. What a conversion, Paul the Apostle. What a transformation of before and after. And his conversion, he speaks of, is that God revealed his Son in him. So, like us and everyone that gets saved, our salvation is none other than a revelation of Christ to our hearts, a revelation of Christ to us and in us. Here it says, Paul says, how it pleased God to reveal his Son in me. And so he tells the Galatians of his past and how he came to the gospel. It was first by revelation, and it was in his conversion, it was by God revealing his Son in him. And then he had an encounter with the living Christ. But then after that, Paul, after he was saved, he didn't immediately go to Jerusalem. It took 3 years. He was in Arabia, and Paul had no contact with the disciples of the Lord. He had no contact with the apostles. He was in Arabia for 3 years. And then, after 3 years, he went to Jerusalem for 15 days and spent time with Peter and with James, the Lord's brother. But he spent 15 days with Peter, and he had conversed with Peter, and he was able to maybe get the life, the narrative of Christ, because Peter knew the life of Christ here on earth. So no doubt Paul would have heard much of that from Peter. Even Paul saying, like the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he says it is more blessed to give than to receive. And how the Lord Jesus says, in the night in which he was betrayed, he said, take bread and take and eat. He likely got a lot of those accounts from Peter, directly from the source, of one that was an eyewitness of Christ on the earth. So Paul is saying here how he went after 3 years, he went to visit Peter for 15 days. And then 14 years later, Paul goes again back to Jerusalem with Titus, and he gives his account, and he was accepted by the apostles. Paul, who is an apostle himself, that never saw Christ on earth, but he had an encounter with the living Christ in heaven, is now going back, and he is accepted by the apostles that knew Christ on the earth. And then he says here how he was accepted in chapter 2, and then this is the crux of the matter in Galatians. There was this Judaistic, the Judaizers were coming in and trying to bring the believers back under bondage to legalistic, performance-based Christianity. And that is what happened here. More to get them back under the law. Yes, you were saved. That's going to be my subject today, is how we began, which was all Christ, at our salvation. It must continue in this way, according to the scriptures. Because the gospel, which Paul presents clearly in Galatians 2:16, in a very concise verse, he gives the gospel very clearly. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So Paul is firstly giving the gospel. By justification, it was all Christ alone. He says, even us Jews, he says to Peter, he withstood Peter to the face. When he says this, Peter had been, he came to Antioch, where he came from Jerusalem up to Antioch, and he was there eating with the Gentiles, with the believers in the church there. And he had no problem with it. But when others came from Jerusalem, came to Antioch, who were Judaizers or who were very strong people, Peter feared them. He feared the Jewish people, and he feared always eating with the Gentiles. And then it was a real problem for him, and because it was the fear of man brings a snare. And Peter he withdrew himself from the believers there, and Barnabas was carried away with their hypocrisy, it says. And so Paul withstood Peter to the face because he was to be blamed. He says, "Why are you doing this? We're all the same, because we all start on the same basis. As Jews and Gentiles, both of us cannot be justified by law. We could not be justified by law. It was by faith in Christ alone, so we're all one." And so there was a perversion brought in by Peter. It says, you're not walking upright and according to the truth of the gospel. So then, that's when he says this verse here: "A man is not justified by the works of law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ." So what's on my heart is these Judaizers were trying to get the believers who had liberty in Christ, try to bring them back under bondage by performance-based, by law-based living. So I just want to apply it to us, apply it to our hearts. Because I know for myself, there is this, why is it when you get saved, it's all Christ, you're so liberated, you're so full of joy and seeing Jesus only, having power in life. Just you're obsessed with Christ, really, when you get saved. Right at the moment of salvation, you see it's all Jesus and just the love of his heart. You're so amazed. It's that idea of, that someone calls it, the power of a new affection, the expulsive power of a new affection. I think Robert Murray McShane said it like this: the expulsive power of a new affection. So when something new comes to your heart and life, it expulses something that was there previous. You're just so taken up with affection for this new thing. It can happen in relationships. It happens in relationships. And here we think of a divine relationship with Christ. It's like so overwhelming. You're like, wow, it's all Christ. And you have such liberty. You love him. But why does it happen after a period of time? We default back to our joy is gone. We lose our joy. We lose our vigor, our strength in Christ, our appreciation of Christ. It just happens. We get dry. It doesn't appeal to us as it did at the start. Why has that happened? And why did it appeal to us so much at the start? Well, I would suggest, and here in the Galatians, that they were brought back under bondage. Their eyes were taken away from the Lord Jesus Christ onto something else. So our justification had nothing whatsoever to do with ourselves. But my case today is neither does our sanctification. Because we seem to think that there's, I mean, how do we live now after we become Christians? Do we get saved by faith? Do we get saved by faith, but then go on to try to please God by performance or by works or by legalism? Surely not by performance, because that is only bondage. He says, because Paul here says in Galatians 2:18, he says, "For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor." So if we go back to things that we said before, at salvation we said they were nothing to us. All the things, my efforts, everything I did in the sight of God is nothing. Christ is all, 100% Christ. All the things, it can't be anything of myself. If we said before, and then afterwards we kind of make the switch and go back to see, how has that now become the weak and beggarly elements before have now become slowly switched? Satan wants us to get back to ourselves, to put ourselves in, not Christ, but I. And Paul says here, when you do that, you become a transgressor. You're becoming a transgressor because what you said before was nothing and was crucified with Christ, you're now bringing out again. You're making it alive again. And so Paul is saying you can't have both. You can't have the law and Christ. And so here in Galatians 2:20, we can read here in Galatians 2:20, is really what's on my heart. I'll read a few verses here. Galatians 2 and verse 20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, notice now, which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. O foolish Galatians, chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who had bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. This only would I learn of you. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and notice his word, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and works miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? So we know the answer is a rhetorical question, by the hearing of faith. So you see here, going back to verse 20 of chapter 2, Paul here says, he says he's been crucified with Christ. So when Christ died, we died with him. There's sometimes this thing that's been asked, who died there at Calvary? And we say, well, Christ died there at Calvary. We say, no, that's not the truth of Romans 6 and other verses. It says, all the church, everyone that's been born again, actually died there with him. So when Christ died in that historical event, God saw each saint that's ever going to be in Christ died there as well. So Paul is saying here, he was crucified with Christ. But Paul wasn't at Calvary. But Paul is making the spiritual application, spiritual truth, how when Christ died, he died. So Paul died as well. It says, and Paul had previously spoken of his time past in the Jewish religion. He says, for ye have heard of my conduct in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited, he says, and I advanced in the Jewish religion above many my equals, my contemporaries, in my own nation of the traditions of my fathers. And then you think of Paul's past, his legalistic way of life, his zeal for the truth, and he had a wonderful zeal for the truth. It's good to have a zeal for the truth. But Paul was actually wrong in his efforts. He says, in his past efforts, in his past works, and we think of ourselves, we look at our past, from whichever background we're from, it could be from a Christian's child's background, try to believe and try to do something, stir something up of themselves to get to be saved, to know Christ, and it's all in vain. They come to this futility of it. They get frustrated, and they just want to get saved, but they don't know how to get saved. It's all they're trying, all from yourself. It's the same as my background, where you come out of religion, where your whole life you're taught you can never know to be saved, because you have the stringent activities that you have to do to be saved. You have to perform and try to please God with offering him something of yourself, but God is not pleased in any of these things. Our past, everything before God is a filthy works. It's a filthy rag, the Bible says. So we think of our past, the baptisms. It could be a pious life, sort of life, and when it's offered without Christ, God says it stinks. It's bribery. I don't want any of it. And so we think of this, before it had no value to us, our self-effort, our trying. But when we trusted Christ, we said no to all these things. And we said, it's all vain. But, that's a problem. And that's a problem here in Galatians. Either it's false teaching that can come in, or it's something of our own default, our fleshly nature, Satan bringing to our hearts, something of self comes up again. And also, you're losing your joy. You're like, why is this? I'm not where I used to be. I don't enjoy Christ as I used to enjoy him. Why is my joy is not there anymore? It's because this but. But then we shift to now living the Christian life with from a newfound joy to not long afterwards, we go back to performance-based Christianity and we lose our joy. And then we go back, we make a list. Oh, I got to follow my list. I got to follow my almost like a to-do list, like a checklist. It's like a tick box, you know. You go back and you're like, how well am I doing spiritually? Well, I'm doing quite well on my reading plan, even though I haven't enjoyed anything lately, but I'm keeping up. I'm doing those four chapters or seven chapters, however stringent it may be. I'm keeping up with that. Checklist, I got it. Just getting through it. You know, we can all, the things I'm saying here are actually really good things. They're healthy things, and I actually fully, I'm just saying how it can become the cart before the horse, where our focus is, instead of our relationship with Christ being one of out of love, it becomes this dutiful life, this dutiful sort of Christian life. It's like a tick box. And I just put some of these things in. It could be like, oh, I'm going to go to a meeting and I'm going to give out a hymn. And that's going to be like, I did my service for, I've been guilty of that in the past. I'm like, I'm dry as can be, dry as a bone. And yet I can be doing so, offering something up to God, thinking that it's at least before others and before God, but my heart is not in it. It's like your heart is far from it. And it could be your attendance to meetings, which I fully adhere to. You want to be at every meeting, but it could be that it's like, I'm doing well there. But the rest of my life, I'm living like, I'm not close to the Lord. I don't even know the Lord throughout the week. That is the thrust of my message is how do we have this constant source of life of Christ living in us? And so Paul is here bringing in, so before, like I've said, all those tick things, tick boxes, doing well. I mean, quite well, but I'm really not doing well. I have no joy. My heart is far from the Lord. You know why? It's because our sanctification, our justification is based on Christ. We have no problem there. But our sanctification has now become based on me and my performance and how well I'm doing, my efforts, and my track record. And so it has been based on me, really. It's put everything back into myself. But the liberty came when we were saved was outside of ourselves. The Spirit of God revealed Christ to us. And that's when we got saved. We're like, we got a glimpse of the Lord Jesus Christ outside of ourselves. We're like, wow, it's all in. We were just amazed at him. But then it goes back and then we become inward focused. And that's the thing. That's what happens to us. But you know what happened on that list that I gave? Was there any Christ in it? No, Christ was not even there. It was all about what I do, all these things. Christ isn't even on the list. And he is number one in Paul's heart. Paul is saying, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. There can be no sanctified flesh. God doesn't want any sanctified flesh. That's the problem. Even the Old Testament, you can see there's no honey, which talks about natural sweetness. There's no honey in the offerings. You are supposed to be out of the offerings because honey speaks of natural sweetness. God doesn't want any of our natural sweetness. He wants Christ. And that's what God delights in, is his son. And he wants the world to see Christ. He wants Christ to be very lived out in us, as it were little Christ in a way, like seeing Christ. He sees Christ there, he sees Christ there. His hands and his feet are connected with the vine, and it's Christ moving. It's Christ living out. But that can't be if we go back to a different rule of life. We go back to, and there's no real Christ. There's no real, it's become based on me, and then we have no power, and we have no joy. And so it can be nothing of ourselves. And so Paul here is saying, we're all of the old past is crucified with Christ. But what do we have now? What pleases God? Christ and Christ alone. Still, just like when we received, it's Christ and Christ alone. He is our performance list. When we think of, it's even strange to say that, but when we think of the Jews in the Old Testament, they came and said to God, what works must we do? What shall we do that we might work the works of God? And Jesus said to them, I love this principle. This is the work of God, that they believe on him in whom he had sent. So, and then Paul goes on to speak of this. He says, I am crucified with Christ. So the old man is gone. Hallelujah. Away with him. But he should stay away. That's the problem. But then Paul says this. I love this. What pleases God now? What is God's heart for? He says, nevertheless, I live. So yes, I'm dead. The old Derek is dead. But I'm alive. I live. But who lives? Yet not I. It's a whole change of life. I'm not living anymore. But Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So the real power of the Christian really is that the idea of the vine and the branches is Christ in me. Because it says in John 14:20, it says, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. That brings strength to Christian life. It's different than any other religion. It's all dead works of any other religion. It's dead. But God in us, Christ in us, is life. John 15, verse 4, I love these verses. And that's why this has brought such joy to me studying this portion again, because it brought me back to this wonderful truth that Christ is all. He is the fountain. He is life itself. He is our meat. He is our joy. He is our drink. He is everything. And Colossians says he is our life. The Lord Jesus says, abide in me. Therefore, abide, remain there. Remain in me and I in you. He says, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Notice that. Not by ourselves. Except it abide in the vine. No more can ye except you abide in me. So abiding in the Lord Jesus. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. He that abides in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. So we can do nothing without Christ. Even Colossians, it says, Christ in you. In Colossians, the hope of glory. The Lord Jesus Christ. So the life I now live. Notice Paul says, his previous life, he was crucified. His old efforts are gone. But how does he now live? And that's where the difficulties of the Christian life. It's the life from here till glory. We got saved. Before, the old life is gone. We have no problem with that. We have no problem with all of these things. We have a clear gospel. It is by faith alone, in Christ alone, 100%, nothing of self. That's how we got saved. But then how we continue from now till our death, till glory, till rapture, till we're with Christ, how is this life lived? How is this life? And how am I doing? Well, it has to be nothing what I do. It has to be all Christ. And that is what Paul is saying now. He says, the life I now live, I live in the same way as when I was saved. He says, the life I now live in the flesh, not, doesn't mean the sinful flesh, just means in his body. The life I now live from now till glory, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. Not by works. I live by faith, but faith has to have an object. What was it when we got saved? The object wasn't our faith. The object was Christ. Paul is saying, I live now by faith in the Son of God. And he says this. I love this because I think this is really where it goes back to. Why do we do these things? Why do we do these things to please God? Like we try and go back to by default. Just because our sinful nature does that. It loves performance or lists to do. And it kind of loves the pat on the back. But really, we're really cheating ourselves short, because the reason why we do these things, I believe, is because we don't actually know our acceptance. We don't know how fully loved we are. And that's why Paul, I love this. Paul is bringing this in here. If we saturate ourselves, we're so loved by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, it's not going to be out of duty. It's going to be out of a heart of love for him. Out of just the affection, the reciprocal love. When we know someone loves us so much, it's just a response, heart response of love back. And as you do it out of freely without trying. And Paul is saying here in this verse, he says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live, right now, from now till glory, I live by faith. So it's not by works, it's by trusting in another. But then he says, who loved me? Who loved me? And gave himself for me. That's how we can walk out, go home, and we can just know we're loved by him. And when we have his love saturating our hearts, It's Christ who loves me. It is his one. I think this is why Paul put it here. It's love. We don't have to try and please. We're trying, if we do this or don't do this, which we should be very holy. I believe it's going to flow out of that, that hard relationship with Christ. We won't need a list of things. The flesh, the law, it loves things to do, lists of things to do, because occupied with self. But when we're occupied with the Lord Jesus Christ and his glory and his person from the word, through the word, and we see him like we've done this morning, we behold only him, it's going to be a different heart response. And it's going to be one out of faith in Christ. That's how the life is lived, by faith in Christ. And that's what I want our hearts to get back to. That's what my own heart to get back to, who loved me and gave himself for me. So I think that's why we often go back to this performance-based sort of life, is, and we lose our joys because we don't actually appreciate his love for us, whether we do something or not. We think of Martha, who was serving. She was serving and serving and becoming tiresome in serving, burdened and burdened. The Lord Jesus says, just sit with me. Come here. You don't have to. Of course, it's a good thing to serve, but we must have our hearts filled with the Lord Jesus. And then you have the capacity to truly be able to do that. And I'm speaking this to my own heart, to my own heart. And then I read chapter 2:3, verses 2-5, which I think is so, I'll just touch on them because those are two ones that these two portions I really want to emphasize, because they both speak of now. They speak of when we were saved, and they both speak of now, which is what I'm interested in, because this is the point I'm trying to make. How do I live now? As Christians, we understand this is how we were at salvation, but how is it now? And that's why I say here in Galatians 3, chapter verse 2, he says, this only would I learn of you. He wants to learn this of them. And he asks a question. Received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? I mean, that's a good question. Is if there's anything more utter apart from works, it is hearing. Hearing. You're just taking something in. You're not doing anything. You're just hearing. And that's what Paul says here. He's using hearing by the hearing of faith. I mean, that is just saying so much in this one verse. By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? And the answer is by the hearing of faith. And we think of how many times people heard and they were saved. When they heard the gospel in Acts, they believed. It was almost like it just happened by hearing. Faith entered in. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So the word of God and hearing the word, it's faith. It's not by anything that we do. We don't even have to lift our thing off the seat. We don't have to try anything of ourselves. It's by hearing, taking in. And that's what happened here. I love that this analogy that Paul is bringing in. This only would I learn of you. Receive you the Spirit by hearing of faith, or by the works of the law, or by hearing of faith. Works and hearing, very different. And then verse 3, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? And the word perfect is kind of the idea of finishing or performing, is the word in the Greek. Are you now performing in the flesh? Are you now finishing your course in the flesh? You started off well, which you did. He says, you started off well, but who had bewitched you? How have you turned to this sort of living and this sort of teaching that you're living in now? Having begun in the Spirit, when we got saved, the Spirit of God reveals Christ to us by the hearing of faith. Our part is the hearing, and the Spirit of God, by us not even knowing, comes into our hearts. And he reveals Christ to us. Like Paul says, revealed by the Spirit. He revealed his Son to me. And then here he says, but the question is, how are you now made perfect by the flesh? Why have you gone, again, the same principle he is stating here, just like at salvation. Paul is saying before in Galatians 2:20, how he was crucified with Christ at salvation, nevertheless he lives. The life he now lives is by faith in Christ. But then he says to them here, you began also by the same way I did, but then he uses a different analogy by being born again, the Spirit. He uses Spirit here, by the hearing of faith. How are you now going back to the works of the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? And he says, he therefore that ministers to you the Spirit and presently works miracles amongst you, does he do it by the works of the Lord, by hearing of faith? Again, by the hearing of faith. So God is really, this is the second case that Paul is making here. And that's, I think, where a lot of things happen with people don't believe in once saved, always saved, or once in Christ forever, is they don't truly, really actually understand what salvation is. Because what is salvation? Well, salvation had nothing to do with ourselves. It's all a work of God. We often think about this. It's not doing, but it's done. The religion will say doing, doing, doing. For us, it's done. And it's not us, but Christ. It is not something that we have done with our hands, but all about the cross. It's nothing of ourselves. It was completely outside of ourselves, but yet we go back to this sort of life, and that's why we lose our joy. So I just want to encourage our hearts here. This wonderful verse. I mean, if I had more time, I would continue, because there's other things that I would like to bring out, but I think this is sufficient, because having begun in the Spirit, I want to encourage our hearts that Christ, living Christ, should be the object of our faith. The living Lord Jesus Christ. Because he is alive and he wants to have fellowship with us. He wants to have every part in our lives. He doesn't want us to be independent of him. Our independent sort of life where he's not really in it. He's not really, we make plans without him. We go places without him. That's because we're not abiding in him. We're not staying in him. This ever relationship with him. I'm speaking to my own heart. This is by experience. I've seen this. And then our Christian lives are not performance-based. They cannot be. There's no vital link from Christ. It goes back to Lockheed. We're going to have no strain of grace if we go back to Lockheed. But it has to be Christ-based. And so this past week, I enjoyed this in my daily devotional. It was a hymn, and I just want to see this, read it out. The point that came out to me, I enjoyed. It's called, "My Home is God Himself." My home is God Himself. It was not so. A long, long road I traveled night and day, and sought to find within myself some way. Nothing I did or felt could bring me near. Self-effort failed, and I was filled with fear. And then I found Christ was the only way, that I must come to him and in him stay. I love this. And God had told me so. And now my home is God and shelter there. God meets the trials of my earthly life. God compasses me round from storm and strife. God takes the burden of my daily care to, oh, the wondrous place, oh, home divinely fair. And I, God's little one, safe hidden there. Lord, as I dwell in you and you in me, so make me dead to everything but thee, that as I rest within my home most fair, my soul may evermore and only see my God in everything and everywhere. I just enjoy this hymn. And just think, just finishing off two quotes from Hudson Taylor. He really appreciated this truth in his Christian life. At age 38, he really appreciated this fresh appreciation, not I, but Christ. It's a whole new way of life. Even after he had found a missionary, different missionary camps or different places in China, he had even the mighty man of one that went down in history. But at 38, he came to this truth, not I, but Christ. And it was such a, almost like newly saved, he said. He says, the only power for deliverance from sin, and we know this failure within us, the only power for deliverance from sin or for true service is Christ. By Hudson Taylor. Now, one more. He says, I used to ask God to help me. Then I asked if I might help him. And the ends of, I ended up by asking him to do his work through me. And that's really the idea of what I want to share today. And I know my time is gone now. But just to say off, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, as we received him, so walk ye in him. Walk in the Lord Jesus. He is our very breath, our life, and everything. He received glory, even in this message, for his saints, that you might be encouraged, that Christ might be fresh again to our hearts, that he might be everything and not us. Let us close in prayer.